What a friend we have in Jesus. The Bible says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Isn't it good to have Christ as your friend? In a few days, we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving. And I thank God that we have set aside a day, a national day, a holiday, to celebrate Thanksgiving. We thank God every day, but I'm glad that it's recognized. So it gives us another opportunity to share with the world what we are thankful for and who we are thankful to. And one of the things that we want to do this year is make sure that we maintain an attitude of gratitude as we go forward. Because sometimes with so much going on in our lives and all around us, we can have an attitude that is not of gratitude, and we can become ungrateful because we are majoring on our problems and our situation and not majoring on our God. Whenever we take our attention away from Jesus Christ and place it on something else, remember you're going down. You are placing your attention on that which is minor, not major. You see, there are some things that we cannot do, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So you and I need Christ to strengthen us to even obey God. We need Christ. So there's three things I want to look at that may help us and hope it encourage our hearts, knowing some more about the Lord and what he's doing and what's going on and the blessings and the benefits that we have in God, that it will keep our attitude strong and it will be one of gratitude. You know, we can find so many things to be ungrateful for or forget the things that we do have. Am I right? We don't want to do that with Christ, especially as being believers. Look with me. The first thing I wanted to look at, be thankful for God's incredible gift. Be thankful for God's incredible gift. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. The word reads, thanks be to God for his incredible gift. Now, it's amazing that how Paul was speaking about the cheerful giver and giving and taking up supplies for those in Jerusalem. And Titus had already started a year earlier to do that, had a heart to do this. But yet, here in 15, it says, thanks be to God for his incredible gift. Now, if you can't think of anything to be thankful for this year, saints, you make sure you be thankful for the gift that God have given us in Jesus Christ and our salvation. This gift is so incredible because it's our salvation. It comes through Jesus Christ. But when you look at this, our salvation was born in the mind and the heart of God. You see, even for the foundation of the world, we know God had already prepared our salvation. Am I right about it? But so this tells me that when Adam did his sin, even before Adam did his sin, in the mind of God, in the heart of God in heaven, God born, brought to life this salvation. So this is the reason, this is one of the reasons that the gift of Christ and our salvation is so incredible. It is indescribable. Because before Adam did his thing, God did his thing. Do you understand this? But not only that, our salvation was brought to earth by the baby born in Bethlehem stable. You see, when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, the seed of a woman began to sprout and have Jesus Christ. Incredible. God, if I can be thankful for anything, when I think about how incredible the gift is to us of our salvation and our Christ, that by itself should be enough to make me change my attitude if I got a nasty attitude doing Thanksgiving. See, there are some things that God wants us to know as believers so we won't imitate or mimic the world. God says that we are in the world, but know that you're not of the world. Christ was not of this world. He said, we are not of this world. See, when you are born again, you're not born of this world. Your first birth, biological birth, means you was of this world, mom and dad, I like to say. But that second birth was not of this world. It was a spiritual birth from above. So God is saying to us, be thankful. But not only did God in heaven thought about this, plan this, and accomplish this through Jesus Christ, but also Christ wrought, he worked our salvation on Calvary's rugged cross. He paid it all. I can be thankful. God, no, I'm not all I want to be. I don't have all I want to have. Everything don't seem to go my way like I want it to go. And sometimes I may want things to go one way. God don't want it to go that way. I need to surrender and say, well, God, have your way in this situation. And sometimes I don't even know what I want. You ever been like that? But I need to know, and I need to be thankful for this incredible gift of salvation. You see, everybody is not going to get saved. I know we don't want to offend anybody, especially at a homegoing service, because hearts are already broken. People are bereaved. They need encouragement and comfort. Am I right about it? But the truth is, no matter how incredible, and it is incredible, this gift is, everybody is not thankful for salvation. Because everybody will not receive salvation. You can preach, you can give out tracts, and for some reason, some folks say, you know what? I got a better plan. You guys waste your time going to church, worshiping this God you can't see. But I'm going to spend my time doing my thing because I can't see that incredible gift. I don't. know whether God planned this before the foundation of the world. I don't know whether this baby, Jesus, Emmanuel, was born in Bethlehem for my behalf, meaning God is with us, Emmanuel. I don't know all of that. I'm told that. So what I'm going to do, I believe I'm going to use my energy, my time, my talent, my treasure elsewhere. But you know the sad thing about that? Those people, it may not be them, it may be those that have to funeralize them, bury them, bring them back to church. You notice that? Or if they don't bring them to church, back to church, they get somebody at the funeral home to preach the eulogy. Are you with me? So even though they may not acknowledge this incredible gift, they may not participate in this gift, but they participate in the grace and the mercy and the long suffering of our God. What I want to say to you is that we need to stand flat-footed, solid-footed, unmovable on the truth of the Word of God. You see, because I'm going to tell you something. We talk about the others who have decided, no, that ain't for me. You guys had church and all of that, Bible. Go right ahead, but I'm going to do my thing to the end. Sometimes the world's pressure, even on the believer, pulls them toward that of the world. And they become friends of the world, saturated, giving their time and attention to the things of the world, and slowly drift away. There's a storm out on the ocean, and it's heading this way. Make sure you're anchored in Jesus, though you may drift away. I don't know whether I said it right or not, but I tell you, this is the thing. Because if you are not solid, standing on the solid rock of Jesus, you will drift away. Everybody that drift didn't start out drifting. Some got bored with church. I can find something better to do on Sunday. Or I can rest on Sunday because I'm going to do my thing on Friday and Saturday. I got to get down, do it to the max. Some kind of way, if I do get in a big downfall, I may and I may not call the preacher. And see, I'm going to tell you something. We know all of that. I know all of that. But I still go. I still, because you know what? I go. Because I really believe, no way, Jose, would I be doing this for some 30 years. And I'm a man of like passion just like the rest of you. If I didn't believe this Bible, I wouldn't preach it. The incredible, indescribable gift of salvation should make us be thankful this year. You see, Christ died for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15 and 3 says, according to the scriptures. Here we go. You believe he died, man? According to the scripture, I do. Now, do you see where the big problem can come in at? See, preacher, this is the problem. I don't believe that this is the word of God. I believe that man wrote this, and he was not divine. No, he was not. But the God who used him as an ink pen was. And one of the things I had to come to grips with, it's all in the Word of God, but sometimes it's hard for us to come to grips with it. In this Bible, there are believers, but also in this Bible, there are unbelievers. The Bible speaks about those who believe, and the Bible speaks about those who don't believe. So even when Christ spoke to some folk, they didn't believe. And the reason I'm saying this, a lot of times people say, you know what, if you was a better soul winner, if you was a better teacher, if you was a better, wait a minute, they don't come no better than Jesus Christ. And when you look in John chapter 10, he told the folk, he said, I told you, and the works that I do produce evidence I'm who I said I am, but you didn't believe. But my sheep heard my voice. What am I saying? Christ himself is saying, hey man, do what you got to do, but realize they didn't hear me. And I did not delete that from the word of God. I told them they didn't believe. So I'm going to tell you something. We don't know who's going to believe, who's not going to believe. So we tell everybody, hoping that all will believe. But what I want to say to you, people are drifting away from the things of God in this modern age in which we are living. Because there are other things more important than God. And so all my energy, all my time, oh, you just don't understand this thing, this goal of mine that I got to do, I got to give all my time to it. Pray for me that I can do this and pass this test, make this move, or travel here, or do this and do this. Wait a minute. That's well and good. I know you got to do what you got to do. But don't you also have to do worship? Don't you also have to do praise? And sometime, don't you have to say, because he's bigger than my job. Because he's bigger than my family. Because he's bigger than my wants, my desires. I find my contentment in him. You see, the problem is we're finding our contentment elsewhere. Tell the truth about it. And as long as you and I, as believers, find our attention elsewhere in somebody else other than Jesus, you're not going to see how incredible this gift feels. Nor will you be thankful for this incredible gift. You won't do it. This is not an automatic thing. This is something you got to be diligent about. Man, I'm telling you, God is speaking to my heart in such a way now. I'm telling you. And a lot of the message you heard me preach, you can set there any way you want. It's to me. God is speaking. I'm a real person. I got real situation. I got real hurts just like you. And yet I got to encourage everybody else. from the Word of God. When you can say to you, you don't know what I'm going through. Do you know what he going through? You know what pastor going through? You really don't care to know. But what I'm saying by that, not that I'm asking you for your sympathy. I'm saying this because I believe what I'm preaching, though I would drift away. But not only think about that, think about this one too. Be thankful, not only for God's incredible gift, but be thankful God causing us, God is causing us to triumph in Jesus. Whoa! You see, there are some things you and I won't even know about ourselves or our situation if you didn't hear from the Word of God. See, yes, you have difficulties. Yes, you have sickness and problems and situations as a believer. Yeah, you're living in this world, and the same thing affect other people affect you. You got to work. They have to work. You have to take care of your family. They have to take care of their family. Doesn't matter whether you save or unsaved. You all have to go to Walmart or wherever you go. Am I right about it? You have to pay your bills. I can't write a letter to Vepco. It's not Vepco anymore, is it? Virginia, what? Energy, right? Yeah. I can't write one. Say, look, this Pastor Ricks. I'm a pastor. I'm a man of God. That means I don't have to pay, right? I pray for your business. Mm-hmm. While you're praying, pray that you get the money to pay your bill. Am I right about it? Bro Parker, they're not going to buy that one. Be thankful. Now, Lord, now here's the thing. Now, this is a good one here. Let me get there. What did I tell you? You put it on the board? I know, Steve, you're faster than me. You put it on the board? All right. There we go. Help me out a little bit today. I'm a little slow today. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now, here's the thing. This could be very difficult for someone to understand when you see part A. Wait a minute. I got situations. I don't think I'm triumphant in this situation. Am I right about it? Come on, can we get real in the house? Huh? So how in the world can God say this? When I want to get healed, it seems like I'm getting sicker. When I'm asking for more finances, it seems like I get less money coming in the house. When I pray for someone to live, then they die. I mean, I got difficulties. I have defeats and setbacks and all kind of things. So how can he say? Now thanks, and I'm to thank him, be to God. Direct my thanks, my attitude of gratitude toward God, who always, wait a minute, sometimes I triumph. Always lead us in triumph. Wait a minute. Are you just saying that because you're trying to get spiritual? Don't you have some things you don't triumph in? Are you scared to even say it, Hans? That you think it's a trick question. No. You can say it. You see, you can say it because you're already saying it to God because he sees your heart. Now, what I mean by this, now I'm going to try to explain it to you a little bit, but I want to set the stage for you not to play games. You see, our mindset is so worldly and so earthly. We think everything exists for me here. Okay? And if I lock into that mindset, I can say I don't always triumph. But that's not what God is dealing with. And also, you will, in your troubles, your difficulties, your situations, you will forget about Romans 8 and 28. Huh? But not only Romans 8 and 28, you always, then you'll forget about Romans 8 and 37. Can you put that up there for me? Now, see, here's the thing. God is not a loser. Everything that happens, God permits it. God is on the throne 24/7. He's never off the throne, no matter what it looked like. Now, if you're serving a God that every now and then he's on the throne, and every now and then he gets up and go somewhere off that throne, you're serving the wrong God. God said you, because you don't understand how those difficulties are working together for your good, not your bad. If you understand they're working together for the betterment of you, so you can triumph all the time, because they're working together for the believer. Those who are called by God according to his purpose. He said, but not only that, do you not know you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus? So when we look from the earth and the worldly perspective, no, we can't see it. But you shouldn't be coming to church. Let me say this. Perhaps don't say that, Pastor. You're trying to get them to come to church now. And they have coming. And you say, no. If you are coming to church to hear a worldly perspective in here, don't come. Woo. Pastor, don't tell them. Don't come. Because you can get all of that in the street. You can get everything that's coming down the pike of worldly perspective. See, I wouldn't come here. Don't even come here trying to get my perspective. See, we're not to lean to our own understanding, but we have to acknowledge God. How do I know you're acknowledging God? You are acknowledging God when you acknowledge his word. He has magnified his word above his name. You can't add to it, nor can you take from it. It is not of any private interpretation, but holy men wrote this as they were borne along like an eagle do her chicks. So the problem is not that you are not triumphant in Christ. You don't get the right perspective, then you're out of order. So you see, we're so connected to this. His prayer, John 17, they're not of the world. I'm not of the world. I'm not asking your Father to take them out of the world. but protect them from the evil one. Do you get it? See, when we don't know our identities, when we don't know who we are in Christ, that is the point of our confusion. You say you're a Christian, but it's a struggle to eat this food. So yeah, when I look at it from God's perspective, I'm on the winning side. Huh? Now he don't tell me everything. He didn't tell Job everything. I'm glad he wrote that book, Sheila. Because I go back there a lot of times. See, God testified how godly this man was. That's what those say. Well, he done sin. Now, guys, I say he's godly. He'll choose evil. Evil on the side of the street, Job go on the other side. He'll sacrifice. He thought his children did something. Come on, somebody. But what I'm saying, you don't need to be coming to church for a worldly perspective. You get a better dose of that in the street, in the nightclubs, and wherever you go. And is that what you want? Go. But I'm going to tell you something. We all going to face God one day. We all going to give account one day. Doesn't matter how young you are. No matter how old you are. No matter how godly you are. No matter how ungodly you are. We are going to face God one day. Some at the white throne judgment, unsaved. Some at the bema seat. But we're going to give an account. And so what I'm saying to you, when you see things and God say things that you are triumphant, you are more than a conqueror. See, who is better to say what you is than God, who made heaven and earth, who made the stars, the moon, who spoke the world in existence? That's why I say, preacher, you got to give me the Bible. Now, here's the thing. What you don't know can hurt you. And when it comes to spiritual things, what you don't believe can hurt you. See, the thing about it, what makes it so hard, the world is always to the side giving us advice. Man, I remember when I went in and ministered to start the church, man, I got advice from a whole lot of folk that a lot of them was not even saved. And I look back now, if I had followed some of the advice that I got, no. My whole thing, if God don't do it, if he tear it down, he let it fall, if it don't work, it don't work. First of all, he ain't the God I thought he was. Or I made the mistake, thought he called me, he didn't. But God did. And I'm telling you something. We're so close for Christ to come back, or either close to us leaving here. The heat is up now. And if your faith doesn't strengthen, you ain't gonna be able to stand. Adrift. And what Satan will do, he don't mind you being religious, long as you don't be holy. He don't mind you being religious. If that's what you want, he'll set up something that will make you as attractive to that. And when you are attractive to something on the religious base, you got to ask yourself, why am I attracted to that? You got to ask yourself that for your own spiritual sanity. What is it that motivates me to go there, to be there? I want to be there. What kind of crowd hangs out there? What kind of freedom it is with me that I don't have to hear about holiness and the word of God all the time? Can't you give me something? Can't you close the book and make me jump the pew? But you jump the pew and break your neck, I still got to preach your funeral. And if you jump it and break your neck, you're not saved. I can't do nothing for you. Let me move on. What was the second one? Amen. So, did you put Romans 8:37 up there for me, Steve? Huh? Was there? Oh, it's already there. Okay. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, go back to 36. I guess 35, 36. Go back there. To, can you do that for me? Man, you something else back there. I can't turn the page as fast as you can click it. Walk with me now. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Go back to 5. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Wait a minute. I'm being slaughtered. I'm going through pain, hurt. And you're saying, I feel like a failure. I feel like I got setback after setback after setback after setback. And after a while, I'm going to believe all these setbacks are defeat. And then you tell me, doesn't matter what come, in Christ Jesus, you're more than a conqueror. One of the things that we have to move away from, God is not just dealing with this age, this time, which is called a temporal time. You may get 70. You may get 4, 8. You don't know how many years you're going to get. But here's the thing. When God speaks to us, he's dealing with eternity. He's dealing with the whole thing, y'all. Now, this is where your faith has to be strong in the Lord against all odds. Because if not, you're going to drift. You're going to try to get all the gusto that you can get out of life while you feel you can. And it breaks my heart to see people going around in circles. I see it. They're going around in circles. Now, it don't mean you're going around in circles. You may look good. You may be healthy. You may be financially stable. But you're still wandering in the wilderness of life. You know, I got a call from a friend of mine that I knew that passed, Donnell. 66, same age as me. I went to Crestwood, he went to Norco. Loved the Lord, loved the Word of God, educator, worked in the jail ministry for a long time. But yet, when his wife took him to Harborview, fluid building up, they understand they couldn't pump it off fast enough as it would keep building up. He passed. And there were three preachers there. One of the preachers called me. He said, I was there when it took place with his wife. And he said, do you know about it? I said, yes. Sister Odell called me and told me about it earlier. When people your age start going, you kind of take a little note, even when they're younger than you. The things of God is not going to work in your life as they should if you don't believe. I've seen it over and over and over again. I can tell people how to be blessed. And they'll look me right in the face
And I know they're not going to do nothing I said. Because what they want to do, you want to do your own thing and you still want to be blessed. It don't work that way with God. You got to do his thing and be blessed. So be thankful for the incredible gift that we have and how it all came about through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, didn't it? All right now. All right, the last one. Be thankful for God giving us the ultimate victory in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. You see, he could give us this, you know, sickness, murder, accident, all of those things can put us in the grave. Am I right about it? Either you're going to die from sickness, an accident, or murder. Is there another one you can die from? Y'all help me out. I couldn't find but three. Sickness, murder, accident. Is there a fourth one you can die from? Huh? Natural death. You're talking about old age? Natural death. Something stopped working, right? Huh? Okay, well, we'll leave that alone. Okay, natural death. I want to throw that in there. But what I'm saying, there are a few things that can put us in a grave, right? But only one person can get us out. That's Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to waste all of my time, my energy, my talent on what can put me in the grave. Because I don't want to stay there. And this 15th chapter deals with the resurrection. Because it also tells us that in this life only, we got hope. We have all men most miserable. See, our hope has to extend beyond the grave. Put that up there for me, Steve. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now put the 58 up there. All right. If you don't believe that verse that came before this one, you're not going to believe this one. Okay, there are many verses that came. You go right on up. But I'm just dealing with the one just ahead of this one. You see, it says, therefore, assuming that you believe the passages above this. All right? See, God will lay out a doctrine. And then he will, the Bible will act as though it assumes you believe what he said prior to the therefore. Because whenever we see the therefore, the wherefore, we ask ourselves, what is the therefore? It is there to let us know, my beloved brethren, look at the endearment here. Be steadfast. When it comes to the things of God, don't move. I don't care who's drifting. Because you got the victory. He's speaking of victory here. And this victory is the ultimate victory. Because when we rise at the rapture, when we get out of the grave, or we are changed in a glorified body. No more battle with the flesh and the spirit. That new you will get a new body that is harmony forever and ever. Therefore, beloved brethren and sisterin, be steadfast. So when the world is trying to move you, when your attitude's trying to move you, remember God said, be steadfast. But be steadfast. I got to go here. I got to go there. I got to go everywhere. Be steadfast. I can't stand it no more. I done got my last nerve. Be steadfast. Huh? Be steadfast. Immovable. Don't let every wind come down the pike. Every new fashion. Every new doctrine. Always moving you. I got to hear what she got. I got to hear what they got. No, no, no. I need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. See, the church has to hear the voice of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is still speaking to the church today. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the what? The work of the Lord. Shoot. Talking about abounding in the work of the Lord? I won't need usher. I'm sure this is going to abound. I'm going to show you how much I'm going to abound. Man, I got other things to do. Church, I ain't abounding. And I'm just using that as an example. Abound? I'm not even going to do it. See, I can't abound in something I'm not even going to start it. Come on now. You're not going to abound in academics if you don't start in academics. Brother, how are you going to abound and you won't even go to school? Every time we get on the bus in the project, you are cutting class and say, don't tell mama I'm not going. And when the bus come back at school, I get on it. Well, how are you going to abound? I'm struggling going. No, drop out, go in the service, drop out, go to jail, drop out, drop out, drop out. God said, don't drop out. Well, what do you want me to do, Pastor? Abound. Well, I don't think you got to do that. You know what you do then? See, there's a way our minds will allow us to say, well, I'm not saying it about the word that the pastor preaching. I'm just saying it to the pastor. I just saying, I'm not going to do it to the pastor. Now, this pastor preached this. I don't tell you what I think. And you don't want to hear what I think. But what I'm saying, are you steadfast? Don't answer. Are you immovable? Don't answer. Are you always abounding? In, I'm not talking about in sin. No, no, no. In the work of the Lord. Do you even know what the work of the Lord is? Knowing, watch it. Here's another problem. A lot of times, Sheila, we're not steadfast, we're not immovable, we're not always abounding in the work of the Lord because we don't know. See, when you know, you grow. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You may look at this crazy preacher and say, man, why you do that? We're going to do our thing, man. Take some pressure off you, preacher. Come on, man. Lighten up. See, but this is for me too. This is my work in the Lord. And I'm not to be lightening up as the days are getting evil. I'm to tighten up the word of God. And do you see it? Because see, I know that my labor is not for nothing in the Lord. You see, put this up for me, Steve. What is it? First Peter? Is it First Peter chapter 5? First Peter chapter 5, verse 2 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 through 4. You got it? Okay. Shepherd, that has the idea of pastor.
pastoring, shepherd. Shepherd the flock. In this context, who's the shepherd? No, it's not God. God is talking. Pastor, bishop, elder, yes. Who's the flock? Okay. And you the flock of who? So the shepherd and the flock belong to who? That of shows ownership. All right? Which is among you? Now he's speaking to the pastors or the bishop or the elders, all interchangeable. He says, serving as overseers. And I'm doing this for some that may not know, my work of the Lord is serving as overseers. So the things I say to you is a little different. I mean, truth is truth. But from my vantage point, I'm commissioned, I'm called, I'm ordained to do what I do by the Lord. Okay? Now watch this. Now you could say, God, you could find a better way to do this. Let us do our own thing. We don't need no man. Okay? You tell him. Then you give me a break. Watch this. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as what? Oh, there's the problem right there. Ain't nobody over me. I wish a man would get over me. God got to be out of his mind to even put it in the Bible. Now, I'm trying to be facetious, yes. But I want to make you think, because here it is. I think everybody got a right to say, why I got to sit here and listen to him? You need to know the scripture why you do this. I'm only reminding you. But you still need to know. See, when I read this, okay, shepherd, I know who the shepherd is. I know who the flock is in this context. I know who they are. I can identify them. I know who God is. All right? Now, he's speaking to the shepherd, and the shepherd, he's not just somebody that fly in and out. He's among us. He's in the church with us. You see him right here. The kids come in my office, get my candy. They see Pastor Ricks. I said, don't take all my candy today. I had to go in the bathroom, but they were hidden. I said, they came. I think they were, when I went in, they came back. I hear you in there. I said, y'all come here to give me a hug, them two twins. You come here to give me a hug, and you come to get my candy. The little girl, she'll come, hug me, and the brother in the candy. I'm going to make it a prerequisite. You got to hug me, my neck, before you do that. What I'm saying, they know the pastor is among them. He's not far off from them. You don't know him. You don't know his life. You don't see him. He's not involved in your life. He's right among you. Among you, serving as overseer. Now here it is. Everybody in that Chesapeake school system is under the administration of that superintendent, whatever. Am I right? Superintendent. And same thing with Portsmouth, whatever city you are. Now, and all of them work for the city, right? Now, all of them are servants of the city, but they all don't serve in the same capacity. So when you speak out of your mouth about he's just like me, I don't serve in your capacity. This was not written to the flock. This is written to the shepherd. Am I right? Am I right in handling this? He says now, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. Now, this how you do it. Serve as overseers. Okay, bishop. That's where we get our word bishop from, overseer. All right. Now, you look at another place in Hebrews. It tells you now, watch this now, how it all ties up. Was it Hebrews 13:17? Obey them who have the. See how they go together? Ain't nobody got no oversight of me. But God, let me tell you something. This don't mean a thing to these people. Yeah. Shepherd the flock which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion. That's why I don't try to beat nobody about it. I tell you. I'm nobody's boss. I'm not your boss. Pastor, you need to run behind them. I ain't running. No, God told me don't do it. Don't make them do nothing. See, God said if you do it, let them do it because they love me, Rick. Now, you do your part, but let them, I don't make nobody do nothing. I'm not like some preachers, and I know some rough ones. Pastor, well, here's the thing. You making them people do that. When they get tired of you making them and rebel, that ain't going to work for so long. Then also, who's getting the glory when you're making them do it? When they do it because they love Jesus. Huh? See, listen, you know, Pastor, some people, you know, I didn't know your job biblically, but now that I know it, I want to listen to you a little different because I see you got an assignment by my God. You see, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Wow, wow. Okay, man. When you do it, see, God is saying what he said now, let them willingly serve me, but you also willingly be the overseer, serving as overseer, looking out for them. All right? A spiritual umbrella for them. All right? A spiritual supervisor, I like to say, for them. All right? Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. We are more than conquerors in the Lord. I want to stop right here. My brothers and sisters, be encouraged in the Lord and be thankful for all of his promises and benefits he has bestowed upon us. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing, let's say knowing, let's say knowing, let's say do you know, let's say do you really know, praise the Lord, knowing that your labor is what? Not in vain in the Lord. You know what? I didn't get all the way down where I wanted to go. I'm just going to read this so you didn't have to put it back up. Shepherd the flock as soon as not compulsion, but willing, not for dishonest gain, eagerly, nor as being lords. Verse 3, nor as being lords over. See, you're the overseer, but you don't lord over. You're not demanding or making somebody do something. Lord over, watch this now, those entrusted to you. Look at that. How many here, tell the truth now, don't try to act spiritual. How many know you were entrusted to me? Come on, tell the truth. Hebrew, you really knew that? Huh? But your children also entrusted to you. Am I right? Emmanuel, you know that you're entrusted to me. I like that. I like that because I know I got several here I could keep going like that and I could get a lot of answers, biblical answers, what I was looking for. See, I push you and you respond. Amen. Not as being lords over those. Man, that's a terrible word. Wow, Lord, entrusted to you. But being examples to the flock. Wow, wow. God, I hurt. I got problems. I got difficulties. Now, how can I be an example to the flock? And I know when you say example, you're talking about a godly example. God, but I'm not perfect. I'm weak. Lord, that's a terrible responsibility to put on a person. You entrust. And see, here's the thing. You know who he's entrusting? He's entrusting those he died for. He rose again for. He's coming back for. He's maintaining. He's interceding for. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Now, go on. And when, I like this part, the chief shepherd, now tell me who the chief shepherd is. Pastor, realize now you ain't the chief shepherd. You just an under shepherd, right? Appears. You, who's the you? Who's the you now? Come on, Hebrew, you. Huh? All right. Will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Amen.